you please rise? That you'd be mindful of our little ones and the great need that they have, that we might be strong examples before them, to raise them up in a way that would be pleasing before you. Now, Father, we do thank you, and we do ask and pray these things, giving you thanks in all things, in the name of thy Son, and of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Seventh chapter of Moroni, verse 26. And as sure as Christ liveth, he spake these words unto our fathers, saying, Whatsoever thing ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is good and faith believing, that ye shall receive. Behold, it shall be done unto you. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, hath miracles ceased, because Christ hath ascended unto heaven, and hath sat down in the right hand of God to claim of the Father his rights of mercy, which he hath upon the children of men. For he hath answered the ends of the law, and he claimeth all those who have faith in him, and they who have advocateth the cause of the children of men, and he dwelleth eternally in the heavens. And because he hath done this, my beloved brethren, hath miracles ceased? Behold, I say unto you, nay, neither have angels ceased to minister unto the children of men.
There was one more. Would you please rise?
Brother very generously volunteered his services to take my place so that I wouldn't have to confront you two times in a row. So I would like for you to give your attention and your prayers to our brother Bill Malone as he would speak the word of God today to you.
Thank you, Gordon. Well, if you might have guessed, the subject of my text today is about miracles. Now, miracles is something that we discuss a lot in this church, and it's something that to us probably holds a more dear meaning than it would be to most of those in the world. miracles to some people might just mean magic. And to others, it might just mean circumstance and speculation. I don't think there's very many people in this room that have not witnessed a miracle. And when I say a miracle, I'm not talking about just something supernatural. I'm talking about a miracle from God. I don't think there's very many ministers who stand behind this pulpit that have not witnessed miracles in their lives. And in some cases, I think we've witnessed miracles almost on a daily basis. There's a lot of coincidence in this world that sometimes we might attribute to a miracle. Sometimes I think God has put the laws into effect that just sometimes that's the way things are and that's just the way things happen. And I think lots of times we might give God the credit for something that is just a coincidence. But you know, I'd a lot rather do that. Then not give him credit and find out it wasn't coincidence. God has richly blessed this people. And he's blessed us with miracles. And that isn't coincidence. We've received these miracles and these blessings not by chance. But because of our devotion, our humility, though it might waver from time to time, and we might see the times in our lives where we've drifted a little farther away than we should have. And you can recall that the miracles that we've witnessed during those times, those periods, were directly proportionate to that. Perhaps they have not been something that was a part of our life during that time where we might have drifted. We hear others quite often in our prayer and testimony services talk about experiences that they've had. And many times, it's experiences that bring tears to your eyes. Now, I wish I had more control over my emotions. And I'm sure there's a lot of other people out there that feel the same way. Because I know for a fact that if I did, I would probably be able to relate more of the experiences that I've had without being embarrassed about it. To stand in these prayer and testimony services and tell of the things that God has done for me, and for you to tell of the things that he's done for you. We have many times. There are times when perhaps the Spirit of God is so strong upon us we can't withhold. And oftentimes we look forward to sharing those experiences that mean so much to us. But sometimes in our human weakness, we don't want to make a spectacle of ourselves, so we keep quiet. We keep those things to ourselves. When I first became active in this church, I did a lot of studying, spent a lot of time with our brother Heward. And I fell in love with the gospel story. And I read and I learned about all those things that Jesus did during his ministry and of the blessings that others received throughout the scriptures. And I thought to myself, wouldn't it be wonderful if we had as many blessings as those people had? Because I thought, oh gosh, the miracles that we read about in the scriptures just aren't there anymore. And the abundance that we read about in the scriptures. And I heard that statement made again. I made that statement some 20 years ago, and I heard it from time to time, usually from those who are newer in the gospel and who are young in the gospel and haven't been around for a long time to witness some of these experiences firsthand or to hear of all of these beautiful testimonies. That tell of God's mercy and His love. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard some of our people say, I'm sure you've heard this story a dozen times, but I'd like to bring it up one more time. And it was the first time I ever heard it. A beautiful story. Our sister Evelina did that just a few weeks ago. She said, you've probably heard this story many times. And it was one she related, and it was the first time I've heard it. Or at least it was, as far as I recall, it was the first time I heard it. But even then, it's like a new testimony of strength and encouragement. And I'm glad she gave that testimony. We call our prayer services on Wednesday evening prayer services. But they are prayer and testimony services. And we call for songs which are songs that might have a special meaning in our hearts. Songs of praise or thanksgiving or worship. Have you thought about how you might be depriving someone else of the blessings that you received when God has given you those miracles that you've sought from time to time? Miracles haven't ceased. Miracles are still here. And I've witnessed them. In my own life. And I've witnessed them in your lives. They're as real as we will allow them to be. And they're dependent a lot on our humility. How close do you want to be to God? He whispers, and if you're making a lot of noise spiritually, you're not going to hear. If you've got things of the world that clutter your mind, when they should be more in tune with the thoughts that are spiritual, we're not going to hear as much. I'd like to read in the 10th chapter of Moroni. Starting with the 8th verse. And again I exhort you, my brethren, that ye deny not the gifts of God, for they are many, and they come from the same God. And there are different ways that these gifts are administered, but it is the same God who worketh all in all. And they are given by the manifestations of the Spirit of God unto men to profit them. For behold, to one is given by the Spirit of God that he may teach the word of wisdom, and to another that he may teach the word of knowledge, and by the same Spirit, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, and to another exceeding great faith, and to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And again, to another that he may work mighty miracles, and again to another that he may prophesy concerning all things. And again to another, the beholding of angels and ministering spirits. And again to another, all kinds of tongues. And again to another, the interpretation of languages and of diverse kinds of tongues. And all these gifts come by the Spirit of Christ. And they come unto every man severally, according as he will. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that ye remember that every good gift cometh of Christ. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that ye remember that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that all these gifts of which I have spoken, which are spiritual, never will be done away. Even as long as the world shall stand, only according to the unbelief of the children of men. Never will be done away is conditional. Conditional upon the unbelief of the children of men. The majority of the people of this world are full of unbelief. Unbelief in Jesus Christ. Unbelief in the God that doesn't change. Unfortunately, the God that most of the people of this world today worship is a changing God, and man has changed God to meet his requirements. But he hasn't really changed God, because God is unchangeable. He's changed his image of God. In verse 12, where it says, "And these gifts come by the Spirit of Christ, and they shall come unto every man severally, according as he will." According as he will. According as you will. Will you have those miracles and those gifts in your life? It's dependent upon you. Your desires, your willingness to serve the God of this land, your willingness to sufficiently humble yourself, and your willingness to accept that which God has in store for you. How many times have we seen our prayers in behalf of ourselves, a situation involving us or others, that we thought we knew what we wanted. We thought we knew what God should do. And we prayed, and we prayed fervently for that particular thing. And it doesn't come. And we continue to pray. And then, lo and behold, we find that God is given a far different blessing and a miracle than what we were requesting. And we recognize, usually, that it was far better than what we asked. Far better. I can see that in my life. I can see it in things that I've prayed for. We have to accept the things that God has put in this world that are subject to every man. God, I don't believe God punishes everybody. Everything that happens, I don't believe is a punishment of God if it isn't something that's good. When people die, it doesn't have to be because God is punishing them or because they've done something wrong. It's part of the life that God created. The scriptures tell us the rain fall on the just and the unjust both. And there's many other scriptures that tell us that these things that happen are a natural way of life. How we react to them is what we're judged upon. How we react, those are the things that God is looking at in our lives. If I do something that's going to offend you, how you react is something you're going to be judged by. It might be on my shoulders also, the things that I do and say. But how you react to it, be careful. Throughout the scriptures, there's one message to me that stands out stronger than any other message that is brought out in all the scriptures. And that is that we have love one for another and for all mankind. All mankind. It's difficult, but it's required. And when we can exercise that love that Jesus had for us, those blessings in our life will be proportionate. We'll see things. We'll see answers to our prayers. We'll see blessings given to this church that are proportionate with our humility, with our devotions, and with the promises that God has given to us. You might hear or read, the day of miracles is over and done. And you'll hear that from a majority of the religious teachers, ministers, and theologians of our time, people that have studied and know the scriptures inside and out. They know what they say. They know the words, but they don't know the meanings. I believe we've witnessed just as many miracles as some of those people, I think as most of those people that lived during the time of Christ, throughout any period of history. Because I think we have been rewarded for the efforts that we've made. You know, even when I hear our brother Hausnick the other night, spoke of a testimony that he experienced that is a miraculous testimony. It was not coincidence. It was miraculous. And I've heard him say it many times about that situation where he saw a ball that looked like it was a transparent ball that came and rested over the head of two gentlemen that had been at odds with each other, and how they stood and came and embraced. I heard that again Wednesday night, and I've heard it many times, and it still touched my heart when I heard it. And I probably will again when I hear it again. I've witnessed so many things personally that I cannot say that the miracles aren't there anymore. When I stand behind this sacred desk, or anywhere that I stand to preach, I have that fear that I might not have humbled myself sufficiently, that God can utilize me, or that He will help me. Or I might not have prepared myself sufficiently, or that which I have prepared, I might not have the ability to present it like I know that it should be presented. And I can't tell you how many times, whether you've been blessed or not, by the things that I've said or I was able to bring forth, I have been blessed so many times. As I look around this room, I can recall miracles that have happened with almost everyone here. Miraculous things. Not things of coincidence. Many times I've resisted when I felt the urging of the Holy Spirit for me to stand and give testimony. And I can recall how the thoughts that I had, the memory of those beautiful things, diminish. And I can recall many more times when I have not resisted. And I've stood and I've told of those things. And those memories remain clear and vivid. And there's many that I cannot tell you of and keep control of my emotions. So when I go on like this, I hope you'll forgive me. But recognize how dear and
how much of a strength those things are in my life. I can recall clearly the words that were spoken to me in my calling to the ministry. Because it was an answer to silent prayers of mine just moments before. I can recall hearing a voice in my mind about the situation that Darren was involved in a couple of years ago. We were on a path with up in Mount Zion, Zion National Park, and in Utah. We're on a path that had a big drop off on one side and a chain to hang on to on the other side. And I'd been leading Darren on this path. Daniel and Karen were ahead of me. I'd been holding Darren's hand and he was just about cutting off the circulation in my hand. He was squeezing so tight, going over rocks and through bushes and having to bend down and go over things. And I saw this path where he could hang onto the chain, and I felt relieved because I was going to get some circulation back in my hand. And I told him, "Darren, hang onto the chain." And I let loose and I looked forward. The next thing I hear is Darren crying out, he called, "Dad." And as I turned, I instantly was fearful when I heard it, because I knew that he was going to go over that drop off to his death, because it would have been sudden death, falling 20 or 30 feet onto a bunch of boulders below. And I heard him call out my name, or call out, "Dad." And my heart fluttered. I turned quickly and I reached for him and grabbed his hand. Bawled him out for not hanging onto the chain. And didn't think too much of it. That night I was rehearsing my prayers, or the events of the day, just kind of talking with God. Thanking him for his blessings and his watch care. And right in the middle of one of my prayers, I believe I was thanking him for taking care of Darren, I heard this voice, not an audible voice, but a voice that spoke to my conscience, telling me about Darren. It was I. Who pushed him back to you? It was I who saved him. And immediately I had an instant recall of that picture in my mind. Of what I saw when I turned to reach for Darren. And that picture was vivid and clear. I saw Darren moving towards me. In an attitude that he would not have been able to do by himself. He was being pushed towards me. I didn't save him. Perhaps it was an angel of God. I don't know. The voice said, "It was I." And Now, sometimes you might look at things like that as coincidence. I can recall dropping Brother and Sister Hausnick off at the airport. She put him in a wheelchair. This was several years ago. She put him in a wheelchair as was wheeling him to the gate. I didn't park. I just dropped him off. The porter took care of their baggage. I said goodbye. I drove around the airport, ready to head for home. I found myself going back. And parking the car just in case they needed some more help. And I felt an urgency. I parked, I ran into the building. Had a big handful of keys that normally sets off their electronic monitoring thing, metal detector. And I saw Doris pushing Don in this wheelchair, coming up to a ramp, down ramp. And I felt like I needed to hurry. And I almost ran through that metal detector, and the keys did not shut or turn the alarm on. And I was able to catch up just as she had taken 4 or 5 steps down the ramp and was about to lose control of the wheelchair. Coincidence? I think not. I can remember driving home one day, a long time ago, working late at night, working second shift, and I worked till the wee hours of the morning. Driving home, and I was having a tough time staying awake. And I was driving along, almost incoherent, and the next thing I knew, my hand reached over and honked the horn. Completely unaware of why I did that, but it happened. And it woke me up, and I was heading right for some parked car or something. I don't recall what I was heading for, but it was imminent danger. Circumstance? I think not. We don't have to always be in prayer when God gives us those blessings. Sometimes he does it because of the efforts that we make to try to live the life that we know we should live. To try to set ourselves apart from the ways of the world. He rewards us. His mercy is infinite. The numbers of true believers in this world, I believe, are diminishing. The ones that are able to, as the world drifts farther and farther away from the teachings of Jesus Christ, those who are able to separate themselves farther and farther away from the things of the world, those are the true believers in Jesus Christ. And we're not the only ones in this world that receive miracles in our lives and blessings. But each of those throughout the world who have faith and who exercise their faith and believe in God, they might not believe exactly the same way that we do, but I'm convinced there are other people throughout the world that receive blessings. I don't think you can read Guidepost and Magazine without believing that. You hear of other miraculous things from time to time, sometimes in Reader's Digest, sometimes in the newspaper, sometimes on news, television news. God has His hand in everybody's life, everybody's. And for those that are striving to serve Him, the rewards are great. But nevertheless, if we did not have the mercies of God and the blessings that we receive from day to day, it would still be worth it. Knowing of the final blessing that is there for each one of us who diligently try to serve Him, the reward of eternal life, salvation with God, with our Master Jesus Christ, and with the countless numbers of those who have lived their lives in accordance with His laws. That's the final miracle that I hope each one of us can witness. Take upon yourself the name of Jesus Christ and be a good example for Him and the blessings that you receive in this life, as great as they might be, still can be nothing compared to that great and final eternal blessing that stands in store for those.
Our most loving Father, we're thankful, Lord, that you have given the words in which our brother spoke this day to rekindle within our minds the many things in which you've done within our lives and the responsibility that comes with those things, that we might testify and speak off one to another concerning those blessings. I'm thankful, Lord, where you work in the lives of the children of men. I'm thankful, Lord, the love in which you have for each one of us. I pray now that you would go with us, help us that we might keep this day holy before thee. And I do ask and pray that you be mindful of those who may still be on the road's track, that you keep them safe. Father, we do thank you, and we pray these things, giving you thanks in all things, in the name of thy Son, even Jesus Christ. Amen.